I'm Abby.
And I'm Allie.
And it's
About Time for True Crime.
Hi.
Hey, you guys.
How are ya?
How's your day that ends in Y?
What day are you listening? Let us know. I want to know when you listen.
And also, what are you doing? We ask this all the time, but I need to know.
Yeah. Like, are you driving to work? Are you painting your nails? Are you going for a hike? Which, if you're doing that, just from one hiking girly to another, girl, take out one of your headphones.
Also, is a true crime podcast what you should be listening to when you're alone in the woods?
Well, okay, not everybody hikes alone.
I mean,
I'm just bad at it.
Yeah, you would terrify me.
I mean, I send you pictures. I'm like, if I get taken, this is the only other car in the lot.
Yeah, we're psychos. I would have her, I always have your location, but yeah. I'd have your exact location. When you were planning on being back, what cars were in the parking lot when you got there? Like, what trail you're on? Yeah, we're insane.
But you should be too.
But yeah.
If you're going to be alone in the woods, I mean, come on.
We're going to be insane, anxious girlies together.
Yeah.
So.
What do you mean? You're not going to do all that?
Come on. You're doing it wrong.
Oh my gosh. During COVID.
Don't say the C word in my house.
I know. I'm sorry.
Ugh.
I broke my foot, and as it was healing, I was just like doing anything I possibly could to get out of the house. So I was going for walks around this, like, I mean, all right, it's the Midwest, basically like a great field, the great plain,
yep.
If you will. And I would listen to My Favorite Murder. I like got hooked on them around that time. And I was just like, so jumpy. Every now and then I'd just see someone like walking a dog and I'd be like, oh my God. And then I was like, okay, I need to chill it with the alone true crime in the woods. I need to tone that down.
Yes, exactly. No, I get that. I'm a very avid podcast listener.
Yes.
And I'm pretty much listening to one always.
Yeah.
Like if I'm not working, I probably, like if I'm doing anything productive,
yeah, you need it productive, though. Like, you need other people in the room that aren't going to distract from what you're doing. So, literally, just a podcast.
Yeah. And, like, if I'm going to the beach, yeah, I'm going to be listening to it.
Oh, yeah.
If I'm sitting by a pool, you damn straight.
Please.
If I'm trying to catch a tan because it's summer right now in New England and we have, like, 8 weeks of, like, really nice hot weather.
Yeah.
You know I'm listening to something.
Oh,
if I'm doing laundry, it's the only way I'm going to finish folding. I hate doing it. But if I can be slightly distracted and entertained while I'm doing it,
it gets done.
I will blink and the laundry will be done.
That is me with podcasts and also audiobooks lately. I've been trying to do.
I've gotten into a couple of audiobooks. Like you all know that I love the Gillian Flynn books.
Yes.
I think everything she's written that I've read, which I've read 3 of her books and I don't know if there's more. She may have written another one.
I think there's just 3.
Anyway. Watch, there's probably 10 and I've completely fucked it. But at least Gone Girl, Dark Places, and Sharp Objects.
Yes.
Not in that order. But I listened to, I think it was Sharp Objects in an audiobook.
It's so good.
Which I liked, but like something that made me want to crawl out of my skin was, like, it's one person reading it, right? Excellent job the whole time. But when it was a male, like the male detective in the book, which is really like the only male, like that's supposed to be like kind of brooding and like deep and masculine and everything that like, oh, I said, and I just like, I was like, I can't listen to that. Are you kidding me?
My gosh.
It was like so trying to be deep. And I appreciate, like, I definitely knew who was talking.
Yep.
Whose line that was, but it kind of made me giggle. Where yes. I'm like, it's a big ask to want all of this range and all of these different voices to exist in one person to do it. But it did kind of make me giggle, and I was like, oh man,
I love that. I do think that it's really interesting how much like one specific voice, I want to say like actor, I guess, reader, narrator, can make or break an audiobook, even if it's great 80% of the time.
Yeah.
There's one that I just started reading that's really interesting. It's actually nonfiction. Who is she?
Oh my God.
Who is she? About these two men who went and passed through the North Pole, and they were the first people to ever do the expedition, like, just on foot without dogs or something else. I don't remember.
Okay.
It's very early. But the guy's voice is just, like, a little bit Nordic.
Mm.
And it's really funny to me to just be like, ooh, how are you going to say that word? Oh, how are you going to say it?
Yeah, right.
Good Morton. You know? Oh, I have also... Oh, wait, you guys, this is great. I've also been working on learning Danish on Duolingo.
Are you serious?
Yes.
What made you choose Danish?
I really like Denmark. I want to go one day.
All right. Well, when we go, you're going to have to ask where the bathroom is, because I won't be able to do it.
But I can't get there yet, but I do know hi, ja heller Abby.
Uh-huh. I have a feeling.
Ba heller du.
I think I knew what you said.
My name's Abby. What's your name? Hi.
That's it, you guys. You're going to be the queen of Denmark.
Hi, and hi, oh, willkommen to your favorite true crime podcast. You guys, look at me.
You can say anything right now, and I'll say that was so good.
I'm gonna say, that's amazing. I can't wait to hear about how bad my pronunciation is. That's my one big issue with Duolingo, is they like won't correct you when you speak because it's not a person. So that sucks. But
well, yeah.
Let me know. Let me know how bad I am at Danish, and I will keep working at it, I promise.
I do that with my husband because he speaks three languages.
Yes.
And I'll be like, oh, can you say this? And then he'll say it. And I'm like, cool.
Cool.
And then I'll be like, can you say this? And he'll do it. And I'll be like, cool. And then I'm like, you could just be saying like items at the grocery store. And I would have no idea. It. Like, I'm like, wow, awesome. Like, he has that advantage. You can bullshit me so hard or talk mad shit in front of my face. Like, and I'd be like, that's amazing. Do it again.
I love it. I do. Like, I love the idea of learning another language just to talk shit with someone. Like a weird language. Just like with someone else. Just to be like, can you fucking believe?
I know. I would love to be somebody who speaks a language I don't look like I would know.
Yeah.
And then I can overhear people like talking shit. And then I can be like, what? Bitch.
Bitch.
As if I'd ever confront anybody.
I know. We'd just be sitting there like, oh my God, I can't believe they're saying that now.
I'd be like, wait, was that about me? No.
Other tall girl, brown hair?
Yeah, right. Is there another tall, very thin, blonde, beautiful girl? They must be talking about me.
We forgot this is a podcast. We both, neither of us are that blonde. Tall or blonde.
No. Especially not me.
But with all that being said, I kind of want to get into it.
Yeah. All right. What are we talking about today?
Okay. Well, today we're going to be talking about a CJ short topic, which I say it's short. We'll see how long this ends up being.
Yep.
But today we're talking about police technology and surveillance.
Well, our dear listener Mooney requested that we do a CJ short soon.
Yes. So hi, Mooney.
This one's for you, baby.
Laya. So, yoo-hoo. Hi, hello, and welcome or welcome back to your favorite true crime podcast, About Time for True Crime.
You guys.
That's us. We have missed you all so much this last week, and we are so excited to be giving you another CJ short today for the first time in what feels like a billion years.
And a little nose boop.
Yeah.
Boop. There you go.
For those of you who are new, Allie and I are beyond criminal justice nerds. We find it fascinating and can promise you a take on true crime that comes from two educated women in the field. Together, we have over 10 years combined of education, which is wild. And I personally have my master's degree in criminal justice, which only matters right now because I got today's episode topic from a class I took in my master's degree.
Absolutely.
So while you have access to all of my links and sources externally for this episode, please note that I may come at you with a few things that I took from a course or a professor.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay, cool. But also, I do just have to do a brief disclaimer before we hop into it. Somehow, in some way, I have found myself describing myself as more and more of a scientist as the years have gone by. Not because I'm a girly in a lab coat, but I'm a girly in social STEM, aka psychology and sociology, both of which are the study of our individual brains and psyche and how we all interact within a group based on that. And criminal justice is a specific subset of sociology that essentially goes over lawmaking, lawbreaking, and how society responds to lawbreaking. But my disclaimer here is that I will be talking about a topic that's fascinating to me and has the potential to be incredibly impactful on each of our lives. However, it's also connected to some hot topics right now. And off the top, I want to just note that as my current hat is a sociologist, my main goal right now is to review what information we have, the considerations, and how that might impact our future. We're talking about police surveillance technology today, and while fascinating, is not currently a debate I would like to have on anybody's personal stance of ethics, morality, and thoughts about law enforcement as a whole, or an agency in your country or state. I do want to talk about the way that law enforcement currently has access to these means, their benefits and concerns, and what I think we should do with the information we have at hand. We say here that this is a politics-free zone unless it's pertinent to a case, and today I'll advocate for you to engage in your politics to make your own voice heard, but also, I unfortunately can't change anything. So it'd be great for us to keep this place safe and welcoming to all, and I encourage you to take this information, but please don't scream politics into our void. I'm just a girl trying to exist in 2025, New England, USA. So please, if you must scream into a void, may I suggest an actual website made by John Oliver called www.screamintothevoid.com. That is a real website.
You told it's me. Great.
So let's get on with it. All that being said, when we talk about law enforcement, we talk about all of the agencies dedicated to upholding laws that are passed in sociology. This is anything from the Drug Enforcement Administration to the FBI to Interpol and more. Today, I want to talk specifically about the information that police have access to, and this would be anything that a police agency could have access to even if they don't currently or haven't bought it or don't afford it. It's just an option.
Mm-hmm.
Next, let's talk about what surveillance is. Surveillance is any way that a law enforcement agency can watch the people over whom they enforce these laws. For most people, this is a geographical location of where you are, where you live, and what you do within it. But for the most part, I will talk about this in terms of the United States, since that's where we are. But this is something to be aware of anywhere you are. It's really smart and important. And now, at least in the States, and I'd assume most places, there's kind of a hierarchy. And part of why I want to talk about these surveillance methods in terms of policing is that this technology would be available even to the quote-unquote lowest branch of policing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not something that super high up in your government have access to that nobody else could. This is things that could impact you, which is why I think it's important.
These are technologies that could be purchased by your local department.
Local, county. I mean, if they have the money for it, everything costs money. But like, if they have the means to it and they are able to get it, they can.
Okay.
And also, I'm happy to do a deeper dive into a lot of these. But for the interest of providing an overview, I will do my very best to restrain myself to give you just general summaries over the nitty gritty. But dear listener, you should know, this is not a conspiracy episode, but a call to action. Research what your specific law enforcement has and go forth from there. I don't know every agency or their resources, and what I'm going to talk about here are all methods used by law enforcement down to the lowest branches of policing to survey residents, travelers, and anyone in between that is just trying to exist in their jurisdiction. So what is currently used? In order to keep this a technical CJ short, I can't go over everything because A, that's not my expertise, but also B, that wouldn't be very short of me now, would it? I do want to highlight a few of the most interesting pieces of technology I've learned about. And before then, something had to come before technology was created. So one piece of humanity that I personally find beautiful is our ceaseless desire for evolution. Whether that's new elements like fire, new understanding like the theory of gravity, new discoveries like space or ocean animals, or even just new ways to take care of ourselves, have you seen the skincare serum market explode over the last 2 decades?
Yes, ma'am, I have.
So we are constantly innovating, and that comes through in so many places, including our government, our laws, and our policing. Police or law enforcement were initially created to be peace officers. Again, using the United States as my example here, We're going to talk about the unicorns shitting rainbows world of democracy and law enforcement. In the best idyllic version of democracy, everyone gets an equally impactful voice on the changes that are made. This includes laws, which are then enforced by police. Police, who were initially intended to be peace officers, should have, in theory, been able to identify any illegal activity going on, and then in order to keep the peace, take them away on a law that was known and voted in by the majority with minor issue. This unicorn's shitting rainbows world also includes the idea that everybody is somehow mentally well, oriented, logical, and believes in individuals acting in accordance to do the common good.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, we know that's not how this works.
No, but we so want to live there. And if you find a way to get there, let us know. But
please, it sounds fucking great.
So far on our floating blue marble, it doesn't.
No such luck.
All right.
If it was how this worked, there wouldn't be law enforcement officers that are shot at for wearing their uniform. There wouldn't be police brutality and the explicit or implicit use of power to continue oppression. And there wouldn't even be people committing crimes, because generally acting in accordance with the common good usually includes not being a fucking bank robber.
Usually.
Usually. So, because people will do all of those things anyway, police turn to surveillance. Now, again, in that ideology of the origin of the police and the unicorn democracy, policing and surveillance was often that of building community relations, being more present in areas that were challenging, and so forth. But then life evolved. And not only did more laws get made in attempt to ensure equal treatment of citizens, add warranted protections of law enforcement, and to just continue growing as we've learned more. Hello, VAWA. Laws get introduced as we learn more things and as we evolve. In the last generation or two, we've seen a technological revolution where we went from dinosaur computers to wireless phones to cell phones with Snake and now Instagram. We have the entire internet at our fingertips constantly, when just 50 years ago, computers took up entire rooms. So, surveillance methods have grown too, with the use of technology for everyone, the advancements and changes that's made in our daily life. These same technologies have been afforded to governments and therefore can also be used to survey people, but are also now elements of people's lives that need to be surveyed as well. A trigger warning for child sexual assault here, but just as an example, one fascinating development in both crime and law enforcement and the internet is pedophiles. Not only is it used as a tool for pedophiles to find victims, but can be used to store child pornography and essentially just be its own location of a crime that otherwise couldn't have occurred before. In response, some police dogs have started to be trained in electronics where they can smell the coding on electronic microchips to find hidden USBs or external hard drives and more. Surveillance evolves as a necessity to evolving people and their crime.
Yeah, I mean, 100 years ago, we weren't having child pornography problems in the way that we view it today, right? I mean, you could take a photograph and have that. You could make an illustration of that, but this is in real time, videos of it posted places.
Right. And without having a literal footprint, it's its own location of crime. I mean, there's chat rooms on AIM that everybody tells you, you know, be really careful about who you're talking to for a reason.
Yeah. This is where, like, you would see ICAC task force come in, which is Internet Crimes Against Children is the acronym that stands for. But their entire work focuses on the worst of the worst things that you and I can imagine, that you and I would lose sleep over one day that they do it.
Yep.
And they do it 40 hours a week, 40 hours plus every week, bringing down people that are abusing children. So they do incredible work. It is not without incredible sacrifice.
Oh, yeah.
To their own mental health, their families, the way that they now view the world because of what they've been forced to see.
Yeah.
But that's an entire agency of people that were created because of the evolution of technology.
Right. And I think it's so fascinating. I even think just the idea that someone found out that, you know, a law enforcement dog could have a talent for something like this, or their senses could be used to help with stuff like this.
Yeah, normally when we think of dogs detecting things, if you think drugs, you think explosives, and that's probably where that ends.
Yeah. I've met a couple doggos who were accelerants trained doggos.
Which is the coolest thing in the world.
They're so cool and they're so good.
And they deserve all of the chin scratches. And if they want rump rubs, then I'm going to give them rump rubs.
I'm going to give them that.
So
all right?
Jot that down.
And while doggos are beautiful, wonderful, amazing beings, and we love every single pod and police pet here, there are some evolutions of surveillance technology that are a little more advanced and worrisome than a sniff test.
Mm.
So today we are just going to talk about four new additions to police surveillance technology and sort of what they're used for, their pros and their cons. And again, we just want to remind you all, like, I will let you know if these are things that only police have access to, but these are usually developed for everybody and then police start using them. It's not like a James Bond movie where there's some person developing really cool technology for him to use, like a pen that's a laser that nobody else has access to,
right,
kind of thing. But it should be known, I think the one thing to put out there about police using technology to survey is that they then can use that for a lot of things until there's legislation on it.
Mm-hmm.
So first things first, we're going to talk about stingrays. And if you hated them for what they did to Steve Irwin, you're not going to like them for this.
I do. I pet them at the aquarium and I'm like, why did you have to do that?
Yeah.
Not Steve.
There was one. I went to the Boston Aquarium, mm-hmm, and they have that little like stingray touch room.
Yeah.
And they have like a painted on horizon. And there was this one little stingray. He just kept trying to swim off into the wall. And I was like, oh, buddy. It's not going to get further.
No, honey.
No.
It's not going to happen.
But he was cutie.
Poor guy.
Anyway. So in this case, stingrays are known as cell site simulators.
Say that again.
No. Cell site simulators. But I'm going to call them stingrays because that's so much easier.
Okay.
These are technology used to kind of confuse phones, if you will. So cell phones, as you probably know, are constantly seeking cell towers to utilize for reception and be in contact with each other and all of that. But a stingray is a piece of technology that confuses the phone into thinking that it itself is a cell tower. So the phone then connects to this piece of technology. The stingray can have access to all of the texts and the calls and the activity of the phone. And then if the phone were to make a call, it would pass it forward to a cell tower so it could make the phone. So it doesn't stop it from being used. It just has access to all of the information on it.
Got it.
And now, again, like this isn't an active choice by the person using it. This is just what the technology does.
Right. And so is this something where like there's a warrant, they've been permitted, like we think you are soliciting sex from minors and we intercept something with your phone to figure out the messages that are happening. Like this is like with a warrant. You can't just run this on anybody.
So you ask great questions and we're going to talk about it. For them to be able to use this and put it through into court, there does have to be rationale, presumably a warrant.
Pretty significant jurisdictional
rationale. Like, yeah. And so obviously this is helpful. There's a lot of pros to this. It can track illegal drug activity, human trafficking, and information that obviously couldn't be known without access to a phone and personal contacts. If you ask me personally, I think this is probably super big for like organized crime where someone might not specifically be going outside of their house to do all of their dealings.
Mm-hmm.
But if you see one screenshot of their phone from a day and like their activity, you might have a pretty good sense of who they're working with. This also allows for government to read in on conversations they wouldn't have had access without being present for or having a warrant, obviously, to like be there.
Mm-hmm.
But there are cons with this. And the first is that this isn't something you can consent to. Mm-hmm. This is intended to confuse your phone. You can't say, okay, I give you access to my phone. They're just taking it.
Right.
But also, because this is a sort of location-based confuser, if you will,
mm-hmm,
this doesn't just work on the singular phone that they're trying to get. So they get all of the phones in the surrounding area, and they have all of that information. Now,
I don't like that.
Yeah. Now, can they take you to court over that stuff? Probably not, because that wasn't necessarily like evidence obtained with a warrant. But they have access and you are putting your information essentially in the hands of whoever's operating that stingray.
Right.
So it's something to keep in mind. It is not without its positive contributions, but it also has consequences.
Yeah, for the guy, for the how do I put this? The guys that happen to be sitting with Chris Hansen sometimes.
Yeah.
This might have made for not of as entertaining of a TV show.
Right.
But certainly could have led to the capture of some of these people and maybe before they had acted or done anything. Right. So I think that I definitely see the benefit of it. I don't like that other people can be pulled into it. But yeah. I also know that this is not a willy-nilly bit of technology that like any judge is being like, oh yeah, use it. Go ahead. Like it is, it's got to be strict circumstances. I have not heard of any police departments that like that are using this or that are.
Yeah.
So like this has got to be, I'm assuming, some higher level shit. Like if the government's investigating you, it's probably like the FBI's involved and like and now it's escalated and they've got more resources available to them.
So a fun fact.
What?
You guys don't know where we are. We are in New England. But I can tell you that they are being used where we are.
I don't like that.
Yeah.
I don't, ma'am.
Yeah. And I will say this is, and I will put under bold, allegedly, because I remember this from a class. I don't have the source for you. But from what I remember, it is suggested that people who operate these stingrays do not mess with the content of texts, which to me says they have the capability to mess with the content of texts.
Mm.
So they could change what is being sent to or from your phone.
Oh, I just know some guys are going to be like, no, it wasn't me. It was the FBI guy that
yeah, right.
that texted her. I didn't do it.
I didn't text your mom, hey, you're hot. That was my FBI stingray guy, okay?
I also think something with our phones, and every single one of us is guilty of it, and this mm-hmm. is where my conspiracy theorist brain comes in, and I am sorry, I can't help it. But I am of the opinion, not having done research before this, I didn't know we were talking about this today.
Yeah, sorry.
But in my very unresearched, purely conspiracy theorist brain right now, I am pretty sure that we consent to all of these things.
Oh, yeah.
Unknowingly. When we check that box, we agree to the terms and agreements, we click that we have read their policy, and we always do it. We don't even skip it. We don't even read the first sentence. We just scroll and scroll and scroll until we get to the bottom so we can check the box. No, I'm not a robot. Can I move forward?
Right.
How many fucking stoplights are in this? Oh my God, that one's kind of in the next box. Do I count that one or do I not? Is it going to think I'm a robot?
Right.
That's usually what our concern is at that time. I have no doubt that our social media, we have consented for our faces, information, messages, everything to be used. Our phones, when you get a new iPhone and a new Android, whatever the hell they make now, and you have one of those, when you start it up and the first thing you're just clicking through, yes, yes, yes.
Yep.
We have given them access to this anyway.
Yep.
So while this is concerning and I don't like that, I understand the point of the stingray technology to be used, because yeah. I can absolutely see a valid reasons for it if they are valid.
Absolutely.
But I think the same people that would be up in arms like me, that would be like, absolutely not, I don't like this. We're the same ones that don't read the policy, and we're the same ones that clicked it and have already given it up anyway.
Well, and I think that's important because we do definitely give away a lot of rights to privacy and information.
Willingly.
Willingly, without reading, without consent.
Yeah, we offer it up. We're yeah. like, do you want to know where I was on vacation?
Yeah.
Do you want to know everything about
I have me? My GPS on 24/7.
Did you want to see it? Did you want to see? I tagged the restaurant I'm at right now.
Yeah.
That you can see if you wanted to.
Just like internet safety, guys, don't tag yourself at places if you're traveling away from home until you're back home.
Just wait till you're home.
Just wait till you're home. Upload the photos then.
Do it.
It's fine.
It's fine.
Anyway,
not that way point. You can be home when they break into your house.
Yeah, and then suckers.
Ugh, I know.
But and it is important because, you know, without a lot of this stuff, what would happen is a really big cost,
mm-hmm.
but you just have to be mindful. So the next piece of technology we're going to talk about are drones.
Mm-hmm.
And I think drones are really interesting. They're kind of fun. They're funky. drones, which most people know by now, are like little teeny tiny flying pieces of technology, usually cameras. And they are also now used for surveillance. So it's not just your weird cousin who's got like an obsession with like little model cars and things that fly. Mm-hmm. Unlike stingrays, drones and AI, which we'll talk about in a minute, are at the hands of the public. You've probably seen drone shots in movies. I mean, hell, even Survivor now uses drone shots to show off their locations. But drones for policing are a little bit different. They start with the same technology, but they have been used in surveillance to fly over areas that are high crime, either in hopes to see more or find justice for more criminal activity. But drones have also been used to detect all sorts of things that we'll talk about. So pros for drones are that they're obviously used in all sorts of helpful surveillance methods for law enforcement. Not only can these be used in like the pursuit of someone that might be armed and dangerous, mm-hmm. and help sort of give law enforcement a tip as to what they might be walking into with a cold call kind of thing, but they can also track, follow people, show you things you wouldn't otherwise have access to. And I think in general, they're pretty helpful. And I mean, I think they're kind of cool, mm-hmm. right? There's a lot you can do with them. Plus, some of them are even programmed, wired, that if they're around something that sounds like a potential gunshot, it just starts up and starts going towards the sound. There's no danger to the drone, except maybe in technology repair.
Right. It's a bill, but no life will be lost
right.
with that.
Yeah. There's no
human risk.
Right. There's no human risk. There's no risk of life. But the cons, there are a few of them, and I think it's important to talk about them. So people have called out drones for a few issues. For one, the amount of information a drone can gather can go far beyond what most capable human beings could. Mm-hmm. For instance, police need warrants to search homes. And let's just say you're hiding a fugitive. Mm-hmm. Hypothetically, you guys, hypothetically.
We know you wouldn't do that.
You'd never do that. And Steve, hide better. We can see your foot. All right. No offense, Steve's. But let's just say that that's happening. While a police officer would need a warrant to come in and search your home, a drone with capabilities to see thermal changes could detect if there is a hot living being behind a wall. Mm-hmm. And obviously, no mere mortal could.
Right.
But drones don't need warrants to do what's programmed into them. You might need warrants to use them in court. But it's important to know that this information can just be out there, even if it's not necessarily submitted anywhere as evidence.
But isn't it, if the drone is being deployed, then aren't those things already considered? Like, if a drone is being used, isn't that already allowed now?
It should be. And we'll talk about that. But I think part of the consideration for some of this stuff is that it's exciting. It's new technology, and mm-hmm. everybody wants to use it yeah. for good and bad. And I'm going to go out on a limb here and assume that police departments are using it for good. They want to make the place safer that they're in. They want to help people. And so I would be all over taking advantage of new technology to help. Mm-hmm. And sometimes these laws don't get passed until after things are already in use.
And we've already seen how maybe they're not
used good. To help.
Yes.
Right.
I mean, I can think of a few examples, good examples. Mm-hmm. of drone use.
Yeah.
Locally, you'll probably hear of like a missing elderly person, maybe someone with dementia or Alzheimer's or something, where they walk out of their house or they walk out of the assisted living they were in, and due to sort of their current state, their movements are unpredictable.
Right.
Right. We don't know where they went. Did they turn left or right? Well, they used to live up left and they used to work down right. So they could have gone anywhere yeah. they might have. Or did they just go straight into the woods?
It's a real crapshoot.
Yeah. And a really cool thing about drones is that thermal technology, where they would be able to. So you could fly that drone and you're going to see a lot of people. But if you see somebody in the woods.
Right. You're going to say, what's going on
there? And you're looking for this person and you know that it's been an hour since this man has been seen. And he's made it, you know, 2 miles. He's cruising.
Right.
And you know what I mean? Like, you can find him. So that can save lives, because if it gets cold or it dips below a certain temperature, or worse, it's too hot. I say worse. Also bad. You know, that can be life or death, because it's not just about finding them, but it's finding them on time.
Right.
Right. Another piece would be if someone was kidnapped and you use that same thermal technology that you were just talking about. We're like, okay, well, we see a smaller body, like say it's a child.
Right.
We have a smaller body located in the basement and we see someone of larger stature pacing upstairs.
Right.
Well, we can use the information that we've gathered from that to determine that the child is likely downstairs and the kidnapper is upstairs. Well, now we know, you know, stay away from the basement. Right. In terms of like we want to remove her from the basement, but we're not going to send like
scary SWAT down to the basement.
Correct. Right. Like we know where the person we're going after is. So yes. I can see that piece, but I can also understand that like you could accidentally get information that you're not looking for. And now you need to like scrub of that. Like you need to delete that. No one is to see that.
Right. And then what do you do with the information that you maybe didn't have a warrant for? The extra people in the shot looking for the guy in the woods that just happened to be on the streets and what happens to their information. And so it's just important to sort of, I think when we hear about these things, think about their life, right? The beginning to the end, what happens with the data once it's done? What happened? Like, you know, what gets stored? What doesn't get stored? How do we ensure that it's being deleted without other people finding it? But drones have also been criticized for one other thing that I think is really worth mention here, which is that some places have drones fly around like the highest crime area. Mm-hmm. If we talk about like theories of crime, we know that generally speaking, there's like hot spots. So if you have a really bad neighborhood, it might not be the whole neighborhood. It might really only be the intersection of like four or five streets kind of thing. And so places with really high crime area will have drones fly around, try to catch it, increase surveillance, increase the incentive for people to not commit crime
and reduce risk of a person being hurt without having uniformed officers.
So some of the criticisms of this is that most residents don't seem to disagree with a desire to lower crime rate and make their neighborhood safer, but find that people who reside in these areas feel like they're kind of being watched under a magnifying glass. And that it damages rapport with police, who no longer have to be in person building those community relationships to see every action that's happening. Not to mention, often neighborhoods with higher crime rates are lower in socioeconomic status, and that can make use of these drones seem disproportionately used against people that might have overlapping demographic information like race or disability. So basically, they're saying like, yes, we want our neighborhood safer, but I feel a little extra looked at. And also, well, now I don't even have a face to make a relationship with.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that community relations is a huge part of this.
Community relations are incredibly important with law enforcement.
Yeah.
And we should be working on strengthening those bonds and putting technology in place of that. There's a fairness element of it too.
Yeah.
And to have a disclaimer here briefly, I know that we kind of touched on this a little bit, but for the sake of repeating it, we will not pretend to be authorities on this topic or any topic that we've talked about. We quite literally are just girls. But what we do hope to do is inspire conversation and at least have some more information going around. I mean, on this stuff, I think you and I can kick it back and forth and we're going to agree and disagree on like a whole host of things. That is great conversation.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I want you to disagree with me. I think that's great. No, really. Because that's how you figure out where you fall on things. You know, I could listen to this back in a year and be like, I actually don't side with that anymore. I think this now. And that's kind of like the beauty of these kinds of conversation. Cause this is so, you can go a million different ways
right
with all of this, and this episode could be, we're gonna have to have like Patreon episodes of continuing this conversation.
Yeah, it's a big one. And also I think like really important to note that none of this is inherently good or bad, right? Like these things can be used for so many dramatically good things.
Mm-hmm.
If we can save a life, if we can help a kid, if we can find a victim that's a kidnapped child and not only get them out of a situation safely, but if their kidnapper or abductor tries to use violence, we can hopefully avoid any further harm coming to that child or anybody who doesn't need to be harmed in that process. But also, you know, also maybe you're a guy who's walking out of CVS and you got toilet paper on your shoe. This is a really minor example, but like maybe that's happening. And now the entire police department has it circling around their phones because there's no legislation on what to do with the weird guy walking out of CVS. And that's not necessarily a crime, but I'd want to know if it was happening.
Right. And with this, your mileage may vary.
Exactly.
Right? Like your local, state, county, whatever, will have different laws on this. Look into them.
Definitely.
Call and ask. I mean, that's what this is. So a lot of this is already, we're in 2025 now. A lot of this has been legislated.
Yes.
But 10, 15 years ago in the beginning, hell no.
Right.
I mean, because your average person was buying them. They were expensive, but anybody could have. I mean, a lot of this stuff anyone can have.
Right.
There's a price for it, but you can have it. It's just, are you doing good with it?
Yes. So drones, good, bad, fun to play with, not to eat, you know?
Yeah. That's usually what I say.
Pulled that Play-Doh out right out of my ass from like 2001. Okay. Then we're going to talk about artificial intelligence.
Oh, I hate this one.
This is good and bad. And I'm going to say, as a disclaimer, again, I've done research on this. I have my master's, and I am also someone who recently thought that an AI video was really a sassy grandma being interviewed. Okay? She was not. So, with that being said, artificial intelligence is another piece of technology we can talk about for police surveillance. This is used all the time now. Even if you just do a Google search, AI can identify patterns, be programmed to find facial recognition technology, and more. Hell, AI is even in a recent iPhone update and summarizes your texts for you if you have it on.
How lazy is that?
I know.
What the hell?
AI has been used in surveillance in a number of incredibly helpful and incredibly concerning ways. And we're going to talk about it. So obviously, this is also one that we have access to, that surveillance and government authorities have access to as well. But some of the incredibly helpful ways AI can be used is obviously this pattern recognition and some helpful like automatic processes. For instance, there are areas where police vests have AI in them that can capture an image if the vest is punctured. I thought this was fascinating. So essentially, like if an officer were to get stabbed or shot, you don't have to rely on that officer anymore for a description of who did it.
Okay, fascinating.
So the body cam would automatically turn on and automatically capture a shot.
Which is also assuming that the officer is alive and able to do that too, which is not always the case, unfortunately.
Exactly.
So having a way to do that, yeah.
So this is a good safeguard, because I mean, even if you were to like pass out, who's to say what you'd remember,
right?
And that's not to say that that's nothing. It's just even in the best worst scenario,
right?
You might need some extra help. But let's say that that happened and whoever did it, you get the picture back at the department and they had a red hat on and a vest.
Mm-hmm.
AI could then go through all of the local CCTV and take pictures or capture stills of anybody walking around with a red hat and a vest on. And from there, you have a pool to start going down from. They're not really starting at square zero, but you still have to do some work to sort through it.
Right.
And that is helpful AI. But there's also other AI that is more imaginative and creative, right?
Hmm.
So there's AI that can be really helpful in like missing children cases, cold cases. So like if a kid got taken when they were 7 and you fast forward 20 years and they're not found, AI can probably help age forward a photo that was had and say, mm-hmm, this might be what they look like now as a 27-year-old.
Or yeah, here are different variations of what they could look like.
Right.
Right.
And that's really cool and super helpful in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
However, AI also has some concerning elements, and it does depend on where you go, if there's facial recognition, what information is being stored. I don't know about you guys. I was a broke college kid once. I sold my plasma, you know. I've been told multiple times that my bio information has been leaked, which is kind of a joke on them because the federal government already has my information from old jobs, but like...
Not only that, but this goes back to the thing that we already signed. We used to put our fingerprint in our phones and we were like, yeah, this is so cool. No one else. I'm like, who did we just give our fingerprints to? We did like five fingers. Yeah. We were like, just in case my thumb is fucking unavailable at the time.
And now we do it with our face.
So we just like, some of it's laughable because we'll like clutch our pearls over these things that we've been doing for years that we willingly were like, no, take it.
You're like, please, no, I want to look at my phone and have it unlocked instead of putting in four digits.
I cannot be fucking bothered with putting in four digits. If you ask me one more time, I'm going to throw this phone out a window. Like that's how we view it. So it's just, it is kind of comical.
It is. And something to be informed on and hysterical that we're like, oh my God, they have access to that thing I gave them access to and then gave them multiple different angles and lightings and impressions of that thing.
What do you mean that Snapchat has all of these different filters that put all these different little points on our faces and they're all just keeping them logged, and so there's really nothing you can ever fucking do that they're not gonna know about because it's your face.
Yeah.
And we were like, but I look so cute with little bunny ears, don't I?
I love the puppy ears. Change my voice.
Make me a cute little rabbit with cute little whiskers. I love the little butterflies on my cheeks. Don't I look adorable?
And you do.
You do.
And now the government has all your information, and so does anybody who can buy that info off Snapchat.
And everybody at Snapchat and the government thinks I look cute too. Thanks,
they said,
guys.
Oh my God. She cutie.
Ugh.
Anyway, AI isn't perfect, and seriously at the will of whichever program is coding these softwares, you know. Further, I want to mention that it is inaccurate a lot.
Yeah.
You ever seen, speaking of face IDs on your phone, people who can open the same phone?
Oh, yeah.
With different faces and not like identical twins, although they can do it too, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with like fingerprints. I don't know. My fingerprints just work. Well, that's concerning.
Mm-hmm.
But also inaccurate because some AI programs are meant to be facial recognition. And some of them are just incredibly inaccurate and being used. So, for instance, there is one, I don't know exactly what the program is, but there was a man who was given 30 days of jail time after being incorrectly identified as an offender. And while that's not a lot, it's 30 days of jail time, it is 30 days of his life he can't get back. But it also makes it easy to see where that line can be extended and to see how things with bigger consequences could come out of this.
But yeah, it's 30 days of someone being in jail.
Right.
That he didn't need to be in jail. He didn't do the thing.
Not to mention, AI is now everywhere in making TikToks or videos, altering images into little videos. It can do all kinds of things. And while there are some tells, like people moving slowly, backgrounds not entirely matching up with the content of a video.
Did you ever look at their hands? It's always the hands.
The hands. I saw one, the sassy grandma, and I was like, oh my God, I'm an idiot. Because if you look at it, the interview makes sense. The movements of the people make sense. But then they're standing in front of like a store and people are just like walking behind them. Like it's obvious that they do not actually take up space in that content.
Yep. You know how many times I've been duped?
Yep. I sent one recently in a group chat and I literally was like, I gotta, hey babe, that's AI. And I was like, oh, sorry.
I'm like, we're not quite old enough to be millennials, but I don't identify with like whatever gen is after that.
Z?
What are we? Gen X? Gen Z?
Well, millennials are technically Gen Y.
Okay.
And then Gen Z comes after. I call us like millennials and a half.
Yeah, we're like
we're on the late end.
Zillennials, I think is what they call it or whatever.
Yeah.
So we're like in there. But Millenzies. Like, I didn't know that I was going to be at the point where I would send something and it'd be like, no, grandma, that's not real.
Yeah.
Like, you ever see those videos of grandkids like showing their grandma like GTA and she's like, oh my God, that happened? And they're like, yeah, you got hit by the car and then hit again and then shot and then run over again and then stabbed and then run over again.
And there's also a prostitute. Anyway.
Yeah, right. And she's kicking them and like it's a whole thing. And the grandma's like really upset. Like,
having a literal heart attack.
Like that will be us someday.
Yeah.
And already, that day is today. The day is...
I'm already being duped.
It's happened.
I'm out here, I'm visible. You can't put me in a closet. I have a master's degree and AI got me, and that should maybe scare you.
And you're already out of the closet. So and,
yeah, there's that too. I do love horses.
So jot that down.
But also, it can just be scary to think about how accurately AI could be used to falsify evidence or to frame someone or to say that you did something that you didn't do. And then how do we go about proving whether or not this was a product created or evidence collected?
Mm-hmm.
And those are two very different things.
I have so many thoughts on that.
Yeah.
I have too many thoughts on that.
Okay.
We're going to need a Patreon episode, I think, of like the concerns of AI.
We are.
The one thing that I do want to mention, it's actually more of a question than anything because I don't know if there's an answer yet. And again, I did not research anything before mm-hmm. this because I had the luxury of just showing up today and getting to listen.
You're a passenger princess today.
I am, and I love it. I love when Abby drives. And but one thing that came to my mind when all of this stuff really started to happen, especially where it's like we can age down and we can age up and like what will our kids look like, and it's not just the like we took his nose and her eyes and stuck it on something, that like they really do morph the features and the way that it's gotten so advanced, more so than it was 15 years ago, that it we have this ability now to make people that don't exist,
yeah,
right, and they look so real.
Mm-hmm.
10 fingers, 10 toes, like they talk like us, they look like us, they walk like us, their expressions, the micro expressions, posture, body language, all of these things are captured accurately.
Yeah.
It looks so real. I think in part because we have given all of the data of how our faces move and how like they have a stockpile of like millions of us who have freely given how we talk and what we say and what we do, and we take videos and we dance in front of them and we do all that stuff. We're awesome. We're great. But the thing that scares me the most is what do we do when they create pornography
mm-hmm.
that is either using somebody else's face
yeah.
or creating somebody else's, you know, like making somebody either a child or an adult. And what do you do if that child or adult is real?
Yeah.
And what do you do if that child or adult aren't real? Because in order for there to be a crime, there needs to be a victim. And so if you are making I'm going to say rated R video
mm-hmm.
using people that don't exist, but it kind of looks like somebody. Well, is that supposed to be you, or is that like, does it look enough like you? Like who's that? Who is determining that gray area of that resembles somebody?
Right.
Versus it's imitating and supposed to be this person with the deep fakes and everything. Like, that can ruin people's careers. That can ruin people's lives. That can ruin people's marriages if they think someone stepped out or they did whatever. Like, there is some significant impact, societal impact that can have. And then if you just zoom in and you make it just about children, oh my God.
Yeah.
Because that is feeding a market, and there is one.
Unfortunately.
Yes. Yeah. But at the same time, does that... I don't think it prevents future actual children from being... I think it just floods the market, but also that's child content, but it's not, because they're not real. So what is that? And I don't have the answer to it, but I think that's one of the questions that, like, I don't know if we have the answers yet, but if we don't, we should be talking about what they are, because it's already here.
I'd love to know more about how people are legislating that. My guess is we're going to see a turn towards more DNA-based evidence, because I think as this stuff gets better, as our content creation gets more accurate, gets more indistinguishable from mm-hmm. real life, we're going to need things that go far beyond a photo. I mean, even 10, 15 years ago, Photoshop existed, and people that were good at that were good at it.
Yeah.
So I'm curious to see, especially now where, you know, I think when that happened, people were like, okay, well, if it's a video, that's a lot harder to doctor. And now that the videos are easier to doctor and easy to misconstrued with reality,
mm-hmm.
what do we turn to that's then like, it has to go beyond seeing to believe it now?
Well, right. But at the same time, if you have a child victim of assault, let's say, and there's a video of it, yep. but there's no DNA evidence, but you see the video, you know that that thing happened and that child deserves justice and those people that inflicted that deserve to be brought to justice.
Right.
We can't rely only on DNA. I mean, we could have caught it 5 years later. Those bruises are gone. Those scars have healed. There's nothing remaining. That place might not even exist anymore where right. the abuse took place. That it's like, you have to rely on some of that technological evidence because that might be all that you have.
Right. And then hopefully there's some sort of trace, some more than 1 3-second clip. Where does this all fall on a timeline? Did people's phones that they had, which they inevitably had because they're being videoed and this isn't 1994 anymore, were they pinging off cell phone towers? Like, my guess is we're going to have to start seeing like significantly broader cases being built up around this stuff if they're going to use it without anything else.
Yeah. I mean, I think that you have to identify a victim. And if you can't identify a victim, then you don't have a crime.
I mean, there's a reason they say no body, no crime. But do you want to know my special little secret curiosity with this?
Are you kidding me? Of course I do.
What happens if they do that with someone and they make it up? It's not a real person. It's an AI created person. And then like 10 years later, someone is born and then they look just like that.
That's what I'm saying. Or better like, yet, I'll raise you one. Okay. What if it looks somebody that happens to already exist? But it's not like that was on purpose. I mean, right. I believe
there's
only like,
so many formations of a face.
I know. Like there's like doppelganger. I don't know what you call it, but like there is somebody out there that looks a lot like you, if not exactly like you. Different DNA, different histories, different whatever. But like some mixed match of all of our DNA has resulted in these features, and you can look very similar one person to the next. So what if it's made and it's not meant to look like anybody, but it happens to look like somebody in Italy?
Right.
Well, oops.
Sorry, Luigi.
You know what I mean? Like, that sucks. And what's his brother going to think? Mario's going to be pissed. It's going to be this whole thing. It's just... But like, in all seriousness, there are things that's like, it doesn't even have to be somebody that's going to be born. It could just be someone that already exists that's like, wait a minute, that looks like me when I was 10.
Right.
I'm now 45, but that looks like 10-year-old me.
And that was not me at 10.
You know?
I think it's fascinating. It's so interesting.
So worth having the conversations about. I don't know what the right answer is yet, but
I don't even know if there's legislation on this kind of thing. What is permissible? What isn't? I don't even know if there's technology. I assume there has to be at some point, like far enough down the line of the content's origin. But how do you figure it out? Is it created? Is it captured? That whole thing. So really interesting.
I remember a case semi-recently where it was like this. Girl was she was in high school and a photo of her was used. I mean, it was likely even a photo that maybe she herself posted on social media, you know what I mean? Screenshot it. Okay, now it's my photo. Now I have it. And then they made it into like basically a porn, like a deep fake, like utilizing her face and looked like her features and performing some acts. And it was like, this went around the school and it was like, is that child pornography? Yeah. Kinda, but. Not really, but then this girl still had to like
live with that,
face her bullies essentially. Yeah. Like that's what it was, call it what it is. And they like made nudes of her, you know what I mean? Like it was just like, oh, and that went around the school.
And now it's not just sending around something that's already been sent, which is already not okay,
right?
But created, yeah,
right. And then you can also use someone's voices.
Yeah.
Like you can, that's a whole other thing. We're talking about the visual, we haven't even talked about the voices,
yeah.
The ones in my head, the ones in, no, I'm just kidding. But like the way that you can use somebody and like make them say some pretty horrible things that it's like, in the next 10 years, we will have a case. I'm calling it now. This is July of 2025 where like there will be a movie about this and there will be a real thing that there will be some guy that doesn't do the thing that there's a video of. And then he will be arrested and he will be confronted with a video that looks very real of him like, robbing a gas station and killing the clerk.
Yeah.
I shot the clerk from my cousin Vinny. Remember? Anyone? Any takers? Aww. Okay.
I love that.
Well, I shot the clerk. I shot the clerk.
I shot the clerk.
I shot the clerk.
Different statements.
Different statements. And I believe we will see a time where it's like, yeah, I own those clothes. Yes, that's what I look like. Yes, that's how I wore my hair that day. Yes, that's what I was wearing. Yes, but I wasn't there. Well, where were you? Can't prove it.
Yeah.
And so now you could have somebody who hates you make a video that looks a lot like you doing something that you didn't do, that you would never do, yet it's time stamped and looks really real that people will believe it, including maybe the people that make those decisions.
Right.
So that's my prediction.
My antithetical advice to all the advice I've been giving you is at that point, fucking who cares? Keep your GPS on all the time. I didn't do it because my phone says I was in this other state.
Well, you could have just given someone else your phone, Abby, because I see you right here. It's time stamped. You were at this gas station and I don't know why you stole that bag of popcorn too, because you really didn't have to. You already killed the guy. It was bad enough.
Okay, then you're stealing food. I really like kettle corn, first of all. Second of all,
that's a sin.
Wasn't me. And you can see it because that's fucking salty popcorn. Bone. I fear that might be somewhat of where we're going at some point. Have you guys seen court transcripts? They're wild. People say anything in court. They really say anything.
It's funny, though.
Funny as hell. But the last one we're going to talk about, I'm really excited to talk about because I'm also terrified to talk about it.
Okay.
And while the rest of these have had what I consider to be very real, very helpful, positive additions to them, I'm sure this has some. I'm just struggling to see it, period, but let alone for worth what you give up.
Mm-hmm.
So the rest of these I learned about in the classes that I took, some of the further research I did after the technology surveillance that I had. And this one I found while I was researching for this specific CJ short, and I found a 2-hour-long PBS documentary on it.
Oh, my.
I was going to say once again, I don't know if I've ever said this out loud on the podcast, but please support PBS. We love good journalism. But we're going to talk about Pegasus. Pegasus sounds mighty nice. It might even remind you of that unicorns shitting rainbows world.
It sounds very whimsical and darling.
If only it were.
Oh.
If only it were. This is a big one. But for the sake of brevity, it is a spyware system that goes into people's phones, developed by NSO Group Technologies, which is a private Israeli cyber intelligence firm.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a lot of mouth words to say it's spyware.
Yep.
Okay. From the PBS documentary that I watched specifically on global spyware, it went into detail on Pegasus. But one of their anonymous informants, who might I add is terrified of retribution for just being a part of this, which, you know, it's funny because then in those things, they're always like blacked out and they've got like a voice alter thing on him. Yeah. So
yeah, they talk like the girl narrating the book from earlier.
Yes. And then I said, So this is someone who worked for a public government agency. Again, this is global, though. So this could have been, it might have been in France that the specific person was working in, but was new to Pegasus spyware. And they were asked to do social engineering, which for them meant searching for information from open sources about whoever their intended target was. They would then have basically a fake number, construct text messages that would be sent to their target's mobile device. These texts were supposed to be anything interesting, anything that would get them to click on a message. And if they clicked on the message and went to the link that was in it, this spyware would automatically be downloaded into the phone.
Ruh-roh.
And as far as I know, it could be like, hey, it's Sephora sale. And there's just like one wall before you get there and it loads that downloads this spyware. Like it's supposed to be curated to make that target click on it.
Oh, man.
Yes.
Sephora sale, 20% off coupon inside.
VIB. I'm out.
I'm diving into that.
So this informant said they had to make one or two really good attempts to send these texts. And obviously, if they clicked on it and they got the spyware on their cell phone, from then on, the person that was operating the Pegasus spyware would have complete access to all information on the phone. They could see anything the device camera could see at all times. Your camera did not have to be open. So from what it looked like on the PBS documentary, it looked kind of like a dark screen. There was a big square that has a picture of whatever your cameras can see. So the front and the back, like the little shaky of the walking. You're probably in bed and it's dark, like looking at your face, looking all weird. And then also there were every single open tab and application that was on your phone. It could then also see all of the content that was either being seen or sent or received through those apps and tabs. And they could even see things that were deleted at any point in time, not just since it was added to the phone. They had access to the exact GPS location and they could hear through the microphone.
What you've said is very upsetting and disturbing.
It gets better.
Well, hold on, because what got worse was when I imagined what I would look like if you at any point, if I'm just scrolling on my phone from underneath.
Yeah.
Chins and all, just glutton.
All in their glory. That's me
just
too.
Just scrolling, doom scrolling, and what we look like and just how disgusting.
Yes.
Like, what?
And then it's just like my blank expression texting LMAO, I'm literally dying. Yep. But nothing's happened.
Yep. And the FBI's like, she's full of shit. She didn't even crack a smile.
Your Honor, not a reliable witness.
Like, LOL, I'm cackling. Really, are you?
Your Honor.
You didn't even snort.
Not even a...
Not even.
Nothing.
Not even a little bit. Your Honor, we know that she's dishonest. I think the evidence proves that right here.
Literally. So Pegasus is terrifying. And it's gotten better since then, to the point where now I believe it's a no-click system, meaning that you don't even have to click on a link for these things to be downloaded and activated. I want to talk about how this might impact us. And then I'm going to talk about some legality issues and concerns with all of this.
So who's using this?
Great question.
So this sounds like...
Pegasus is a third-party company. A third-party company. And it is incredibly hushed. So this PBS...
I wonder why.
Yeah, I wonder. PBS documentary had two different police departments that were shown from their... essentially like receipts, their invoice history of purchasing this spyware anywhere from like $100,000 to $250,000. But a part of the purchase included an NDA that they couldn't even talk about the purchase.
It's only a little bit out of my budget.
A little for me too. Damn. Not quite chump change. Maybe if I saved up for, I don't know, the rest of my life. So... that's huge. That's huge amounts of money, first of all, if we're just going to talk about money-wise. That's right. Insane. But also, interesting that just the buying has an NDA. How do you technically have informed public spending with tax dollars if you can't even say that you're purchasing this?
Oh, that's easy. You can't.
Yeah, precisely. So it's concerning at all that this exists. It's more concerning that places that survey us can get this and can get away with having it and not, I don't know, even telling us that they bought it, much less are using it, which I don't know why you'd buy it for that much money and not use it, but you know what I'm saying. So, relating to Pegasus, there are some reasons this specifically is terrifying, and I'm going to get into one because this is a true crime podcast, after all, and I wanted to mix in a little bit of heinous and horrendous murder for you.
Okay.
Yeah. One journalist, Jamal Khashoggi, who's, I'm just going to call him Jamal. I don't want to absolutely wreck his name every time I say it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Fair.
So Jamal was a journalist for the Washington Post and the Middle East Eye. He was born in Medina, Saudi Arabia. Jamal was a dissident and disagreed vehemently with the monarchy in Saudi Arabia, King Mohammed bin Salman. He is an absolute monarchist, meaning he essentially alone is the government. And while some have called him authoritarian, others describe him as totalitarian. Totalitarian being where a government prohibits opposition, completely controls narratives, and even disregards and outlaws other political claims.
Sounds right.
While I'm no expert on Saudi Arabian government by far, I think there's evidence, at least in this example, to suggest totalitarianism. Because Jamal was a dissident of the government, but also a journalist. He was very gentle and mild-mannered, but he became well listened to as one of the only people speaking out against the Saudi regime. Jamal had publicly noted that he believed King Mohammed bin Salman was like Putin and other dictators of the sort, except he believed that they were creating a dictatorship that was very specific in Saudi Arabia by imprisoning intellectuals within their own country.
Yep.
So Jamal ended up going to the Turkish consulate in Istanbul with his fiance, Hatice Sengiz. Again, I'm going to call her Hatice. And they both knew that she would have to wait outside while he went inside. They actually were filing for their marriage certificate. So he went in. They knew he would have to give up his phone. And 11 hours later, he never came out and nobody ever saw him again.
What?
They went to issue documents for their marriage. This was totally unrelated to any of the journalism work that Jamal had done and literally anything to do with his job or his stance on an entirely different government. Using spyware technology, the Saudi Arabian government allegedly then deployed an assassination team. It is confirmed that inside the government building, the Turkish consulate, Jamal was murdered, literally hacked into pieces and brought out of the building in suitcases. In a government building.
Oh my.
In this PBS documentary, it indicated that the government used spyware in connection with Jamal, his wife, and a previous wife that he was connected with. They also interviewed Pegasus, or the company NSO, and of course, I just want to make it known that they said they had nothing to do with this murder after an investigation was done internally. However, we don't have access to what this investigation was, nor do we have clarification on whether being involved in their eyes means that they did it or provided the technology to do so, or anything of like what their definition of involved means.
Right.
So I just want to make that known. We don't know, but they deny any involvement.
And they can't break their own NDA.
Yeah, I'm assuming.
So.
Yeah.
Okay.
PBS was able to get consent from Hatice, Jamal's fiance, to run forensics on her phone. And what they found was that her phone was infected with Pegasus. And that began to show up just days after Jamal's disappearance when she was trying to look into what happened to him.
Oh.
Jamal's previous partners, and I don't know if she was currently his wife or a previous wife, her name is Hanan, also allowed her phone to be forensically tested, and her phone was infected more than one time with Pegasus.
No.
And due to the allegations of where she was and record of where she was at the time, these forensics indicated that Pegasus was put on her phone by the United Arab Emirates, an allying country of Saudi Arabia, who allegedly typed out, like, character for character, a URL that downloaded Pegasus onto her phone.
Ugh.
Of course, I want to make it known that Saudi Arabia says these allegations are baseless, and the United Arab Emirates deny any participation in this surveillance. NSO, the company that creates Pegasus, also, again, denies any association, including listening, monitoring, tracking, or collecting of information with this crime. But I don't know that they themselves are the ones that are collecting this information. I don't know. I really don't know. I did not see anywhere that they explicitly denied that their technology was used, though. Just that they were not associated, just from what I saw. And yes, Jamal's tragic murder is a case that involves malicious government systems, systems of control and regimes that are not familiar to most of our audience, specifically not in the States. I know we have quite a listening in the UK as well. But however, these are things to consider when we look at using technology flippantly and without regard to how this might impact us if leadership ever became corrupt. And as a friendly reminder, power corrupts absolutely. If you look in your history book, Hitler did come to power legally at first. You just never know who and how power corrupts. But what information do you want at the hands of people who have the most power if the worst case scenario happens? And that brings me to my issues with legality and potential concerns. In this thought experiment, where we go over all of this, I'm assuming police will never do illegal things that are documented on the book, which means anything that they're going to submit to evidence and to courts all have to be acquired legally, or they should be denied by the judge. But laws never come first. Protections are almost always only afforded after violations occur and court cases happen. And even then, typically, you see a court case that seems so bonkers banana pants that it's appealed up to the Supreme Court, goes through all of the filters of the insane appeals that the Supreme Court gets each year. They decide to listen to it. And then only if they judge on your protection is that protection guaranteed. One issue I see with this technology is phones. In Supreme Court cases, it was ruled that law enforcement needs a warrant to go through phones based on the Fourth Amendment. If this is the case, I personally feel very pressed to see any warrant, to see warrants for absolutely, literally any information collected from stingrays or Pegasus.
Mm-hmm.
Again, these can, at least stingrays, can be used for really good things. And I do think most of the time these are being used in everybody's mind to better their community. It just depends on whoever's doing that, what their vision of better is.
Mm-hmm.
And ideally, it's safer, less crime.
Yep.
Just period. But when things are violating, when this stuff does get controversial, especially when it's new, a lot of the stuff now, like the stingrays, the drones, it's been around long enough that there's some legislation on it and how it should be used and how it can be used. But when it's something new, it's really important to remember that there might not be legal protections already afforded to it. Further, Pegasus specifically, from what I'm aware of, is simply a service for sale, meaning anyone with the money could buy this literal spyware. And if you click a link, or if it's the newer version, maybe not even, you might be none the wiser, giving complete and total access to not only whoever sent it to you, but to potentially with people who have no power or authority or guidelines keeping them in check at all. Not that Pegasus seems to be super ethical in my opinion, but I'm just saying you're literally at the mercy of whatever agency has bought it or whatever rich kid has enough money to do it and is bored.
It makes hearing you talk about this, I think less government and more like big corporation.
Yeah.
Where I can see like, okay, competitors, like their secrets or their whatever, like how to, you know, someone's bringing up something unethical that you practice and you want to squash it. And so like, that's kind of what goes to my head with that of how they would, the incentive to access that information. Cause most everything else we give up.
I mean, we do. And I also, a lot of the times, I don't give it up to my government. I give it up to an organization.
Which could be, have a contract with the government.
Which the government could subpoena. I mean, Apple is known for being pretty good with security stuff, but like most everywhere else, Meta, Facebook, Instagram, any of that, they don't give a shit about your privacy information most of the time. And if they do, sometimes even still, there's only so much they can do about it.
A lot of times they're profiting off of it because they're like, oh, you searched this thing.
Right.
Now we're going to show you ads for this, 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 and this. And oh, we're going to get a cut.
Right. Well, and then you add biometrics, bio information, that face ID, fingerprints. You give your blood away to one place that has a security breach. Like mm-hmm. there are all sorts of issues with technology and data storage that can come to bite you in the ass. And I think with a lot of companies having this information, it's concerning just because of the way you can be targeted for things like that.
Yeah.
But my concern with the government having it is the power that comes with that and making sure that we have protections when our every move has the potential to be given up.
Yeah, I think these are the kinds of things that we don't talk about enough.
Right.
And call to the forefront that we're not talking about with our friends and family of like, hey, look into this and we need to be informed.
Also, just like not even on a background icky feeling you don't have any idea it's happening kind of way with your information. My good God, look at privacy settings wherever you are. Look mm-hmm. at privacy settings, please. I have seen so many Facebook accounts of just like people in cases that we talk about on this podcast where I'm like, girl, you deserve privacy. Shut that shit down.
Have it private. Don't post that.
Don't let everything be public. Like the whole world doesn't need to see the repost of the puppy. And like, if you think that these dogs are the cutest, of course they're the cutest. I don't need to know you think that though.
Well, and it's funny you say that. Like over the last 10 years, like I have pulled back, I say 10, probably like 5 to 7 years,
mm-hmm.
I've really pulled back my social media presence, like personally. Yeah. Like I don't think I ever had anything open, but like I would post more. Like I've torched accounts, I've gotten rid of them, I don't care. I am convinced, because I've like seen it on my own phone, that like there were accounts that I was all of a sudden following, accounts that I was all of a sudden liking. That's not to say that like sometimes I just wouldn't lock my phone and it would go in my pocket and it could, I can see how that could happen. But like there were things where I'm like, I don't even know this. I wouldn't have seen this. I don't agree with this kind of thing. Yeah. And yet it was liked. So I always thought it was like, it was hacked. You know what I mean? Right. Or like someone got into my account. My accounts have been hacked before. Like that shit happens.
Yeah.
And it like, it freaks you out because there's this feeling of like, exposure.
Yeah,
like someone can just say they are me and do these things, and like
it's violating,
post something, I don't know, like if Twitter, your Twitter gets hacked and then they start tweeting things like, I hate every brunette and I wish that they would all die, and unless you have blue eyes, like,
or like Elmo's most recent Twitter hack.
Oh no, Elmo.
I'm not saying it, but you guys can look it up.
Like it's just those kinds of things where it's like, you, that is your face and your name and your reputation that gets stapled to that, basically. And someone else or something else can go in and sort of hijack that. And that feels, it's very uncomfortable. It does feel violating and it's weird.
Yeah.
And it's, and so it really made me like kind of pull back a little bit. Like I love the podcast Instagram, and that I'm on that every day. You guys know that. We have a good time. I love messaging with you guys, and you guys send us funny memes too, and we have a blast. But like, are you ever gonna see us posting like tons of photos of us? I don't think so. It's just there's just a different sort of presence that I want to have now.
Yeah,
kind of as I'm getting older, and not everything about my life is for on display. Not everyone deserves to know you like that. And I think that there's also a grace in just keeping the people that you care about, people close to you, close.
Right.
And that those who need to know. And it, not everyone needs to know that you had a bad day. You don't need to post a black screen on Snapchat with like some cryptic message of like, don't text, long day. And it's like, then they're mad no one texts. And I'm like, how old are you? You know what I mean? It's just kind of like the shit that we did when we were teenagers.
Well, and I also think that there's this summation effect of everything that you post. You might not be giving a lot of yourself away if you post, I like dogs, I like cats, you know what I mean? And like you repost a cute picture, you like a cute animal meme or something, but the total summation of all of the information you can get from that really paints a vivid picture of not only someone's life, but their interests, their entire personality, the things that tick them off, the things that don't. And then if you add into it giving things away, like, and not in like a, I'm giving this to you, I'm giving something of myself up, but just the information you allow out there, if you're adding information to the internet about yourself, you are really creating this whole picture of who you are. And that's not bad. You should be ashamed of it, but you should be protective of it.
You should be aware of it. Whatever you want to do, listen, hey, it's free.
Do your thing, babe.
Do whatever you want. I'll support you in being safe, but be safe about it and be
right.
Be very intentional with what it is. Like, we have a reel saved to one of our highlights on Instagram, shameless plug, about safety tips, because we do have safety tips. And whenever, I mean, there's like a million of them. I could repost all of them if I wanted to, but I try to choose the ones that actually seem relevant, that are ones that you haven't seen before. And there's this one from a police officer, and he's talking about, and I know we're talking about technology, but this isn't, and it's fascinating just how much we give away with this, is like the decals on the back of someone's car.
Oh, yeah.
Of just like, okay, so it's got, you know, mom and dad and three little ones. Okay, so we know that there's a couple with three kids. You've got the soccer ball with the number, so now I know what number jersey your kid is.
Mm-hmm.
Now I can look up the schedule of that school because you let me know which school it is.
Right.
That I now know where your kid's going to be. And say you also have, I don't know, ballet shoes with the ballet on it. Okay, well, I know that that ballet class runs this time. Like, these are three Google searches away to find out, like, mom might be late to picking up the kid at soccer because she's got to grab the sister at dance. And now your kid's vulnerable. And you gave that away with the decals on the back of your car.
Right.
Think of the magnitude of details you give away beyond that.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's fascinating the way that those things can be broken down, and he probably has a more eloquent way of putting it,
yeah.
But just kind of like, take this person, like, you can know too much. Like, my favorite bumper sticker is the one that's like, excuse me, bestie, just trying to merge. I'm like, yep. that's what I would have. Like, I'm not having, like, proud honor student of, you know, so-and-so high school. Because right. It's like, okay, well, I know that you have a child that goes to this school. And based on how many years it's been there, I know that they're a sophomore.
Right. Well, and even just, you know, I think it's one thing to have all of this information that you're putting out, again, for that circle, for people that you've curated to say, okay, you have access to this information. You should still know that accounts get hacked, and that's something to be aware of. But it's different to have that kind of locked down with your people compared to that with no privacy settings, no walls put up, no, there's no selection process for you. There's no weeding people out to say you don't get this information.
Right.
And I don't know. That freaks me out. I don't think I've posted on Facebook. I know that people have commented happy birthday over the years, but I don't know that I've put anything up in years.
Yeah.
It's not for you. It's for me. And the people that are close to me already know.
Yeah. We have a group chat for that.
Yeah. We have the group chat. If you watch Mormon Wives, all that. But
I have yet to watch it, but I need to.
The last thing I wanted to bring up in terms of concerns with technology is technology as a whole. It's none of these individually. Because these programs, these pieces of technology, surveillance, and more are only as good as the programming and coding on the technology itself. And coding is only as good as the programmer. Human error is more than present in all of these. For instance, that facial recognition programming that isn't accurate all the time misidentified 28 legislators as criminals in a study. 28 of them. They're like, yeah, no, that's a crime. Well, whatever you think, they didn't have criminal records. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's to test efficacy of something that I believe, pretty sure, was already running. And psychological error is always there. We literally say we're human to justify mistakes. It's innate in us. But technology was made by us, mistakes and all. Frequently, there are glitches, software issues, and even perfectly performing software is vulnerable to biases and blind spots that developers have. For instance, people of color tend to have disproportionate rates of being impacted by flawed technology. This could be being incorrectly identified, tracked, or found, just in general, misidentified more than white people. Whether this is a psychological phenomenon that occurs because people identify facial differences in their own race with increased accuracy than people of other races, so whoever created the software, whoever it is, probably the accuracy rate for their own race is going to be significantly higher than other races.
Which is, yeah.
It's true. Like, that's a real psychological phenomenon, but also it could be that. It could also just be logistical things. In order for some of these programs to work, to get all of the points on your face, you have to have a good enough camera that has good contrast, good white exposure, and all of these things that if your camera's a little off, you might just have a really hard time tracking using that software.
Mm-hmm.
And for someone of color to be incorrectly identified at 2 times the rate of a white person leads to some real questions.
Well, if we know that it's that inefficient, why are we using it?
Well, we have to know that it's that inefficient, and people aren't talking about it. So how are we going to know? And that's my big question, is it's always like, I think there are so many things that are so helpful and so promising with the creation of these technologies. But we also have to talk about the things that need work, that still need developing, that need help in order for all of us to live in that or something closer to that unicorns shitting rainbows world.
Mm-hmm.
If all of us are going to have an equal say, we all have to know which ones of us aren't getting that. But to wrap it up, the first sentence on the Marshall Project, which is linked, you can see it. It's where I got a lot of the information for the stingrays. But it really stuck with me. It says, anonymity is a shield from the tyranny of the majority, which is a quote from the Supreme Court Justice John Paul Stevens in 1995 during a ruling that protected Americans' constitutional right to engage in anonymous speech about politics.
Mm-hmm.
Privacy is a privilege that we are slowly losing in every sense. And while this is not inherently bad, it is a slippery slope. I would say that my main takeaway from all of this is to just really educate yourself about your local systems, your law enforcement, and what they have access to. Technology is just a tool. You can do amazing things with it or horrible things, but it depends on whose hands it's in. My suggestion is to familiarize yourself with what tools your government has and whose specific hands it's in. Also, this is why informed consent is so fucking necessary. Informed consent meaning knowingly, being given the pros, the cons, and everything in between, and then agreeing to it without coercion or pressure, but enthusiastically. Yes, this is typically referred to in studies with surgery or sex, but at the end of the day, what is the intimacy of sex or medical records compared to the intimacy of your digital footprint with every search you've ever made, every text you've ever sent and deleted, every song you've ever listened to, online purchase you've made, comment you've left on Yelp, and potentially even when you're not a suspect of a crime, but just a neighbor to one. Further, I would suggest extremely considering what you put online, give the internet or your phone access to, and remember that this isn't inherently bad. As we talked about, laws are never proactive, which is both a protection and a necessary evil at times. Technology will never be banned first, only protected from after. Protect what you can from the initial wave that comes before the laws come. And then educate yourself. But otherwise, don't run into a hole and hide. Live your life. Watch an Instagram reel. But don't let access to information scare you from seeking it out. You are best protected when you know what you're shielding yourself from. And not speaking out, not utilizing the resources you also have to equip yourself, does nothing but tilt the hand in favor of those potentially ready to abuse power. Potentially. And lastly, technology is amazing. For all of the very valid concerns that come from giving access to people with power who are in a position to oppress, we also give people with the power of authority to protect us and find justice from those without power who use it to do bad things. If drones can help protect multiple lives in the pursuit of an offender with firearms who's free shooting, that's more than worth every single life it saved, because it's saving the life of someone who can save even more than their own. Even in the least destructive sense, if it can keep you from having scam emails sent to you to get your social security or bank account, hell, that's a piece of surveillance technology that could save immense money for literally anyone, and probably worth whatever cost your department's paying for it. So welcome to surveillance technology. I hope you're equally enthralled and a little bit terrified, but just enough to do your own research.
We want to hear from you guys. What is it that you think?
Yeah.
What, I mean, we roundtabled a couple to 10 different things and ideas and theories, and we could go down any which rabbit hole you want us to. And we're already like probably going to anyway, but we want to know what you want to hear. What are your thoughts on this, though? Did you learn something? Is this new to you? Have you doom scrolled about this at night? Does your FBI guy know all of your chins? These are the real questions.
You want to know what I'm pissed about?
Yeah, I want to know what you're pissed about.
My phone is more accurate at opening to my face if I'm like in the middle of eating or laying down than it is if I'm like cute in makeup. I'm like, okay, well, that's rude.
I know. It feels personal. You
didn't have
personal.
To get me with the mouth open.
It feels right? personal.
God forbid I put on lip gloss one day, all right?
One time.
But yeah, let us know. It's fascinating.
Let us know if you want a part two to this. I think we could dive so much deeper on this AI stuff. And really, yeah. I know we did really like surface level introductory stuff, but I think we could really jump down a rabbit hole if we wanted to. Is that something you would more want on like a separate platform? Like, we really want to get our Patreon up, and so
yeah,
like these ideas are kind of coming to me as like, I don't know if any would want these as like main episodes, but like bonus episodes.
Definitely, like,
that's sort of where my brain is going right now. But we want to hear from you guys, and thank you, Abby, for making me rethink everything all over again.
You're so welcome.
Thanks.
I would love to do longer episodes like this with you guys. I mean, we did a CJ quote unquote short. This thing is over an hour and a half.
Mm-hmm.
So let us know. We're happy to yap anytime. We love it. Oh, happy to yap would be a cute sticker.
Happy to yap.
Ugh. Anyway.
Big ol' yapatite.
Speaking of, in the next week, while you're looking at every single privacy setting that you have, I hope please go ahead. Also check out our Instagram. You can tell all the government agencies that you love us. Maybe they'll follow us too.
Yay.
You could do that through our link tree below, where you'd also find my sources that didn't come from in-person classes in this episode.
Yes.
You could also find our email if you wanted to send us pod pets, case recommendations, your thoughts, your feelings. I would say anything more intense than thoughts and feelings should probably go to a therapist. But hey, we're happy to listen to how you think about this stuff. Yeah. We love it. Also, I don't know. We just want to know you. Say hi. Leave a review, a 5-star review, a comment. Let us know what you thought, how you love us, or how you hate, apparently, sometimes my fake vomit noises. I took the hint. All right. bitch. We listen to you guys. We want to know what you want. But also, I don't know. Check out our Instagram again. It's got all the people, the places, the things we talk about. I don't even know how we're going to put up photos of this stuff. Probably just the Stingray box itself and an AI bot. Who knows?
Perhaps.
But check it out. We love it. Allie does a great job. We've got all sorts of memes and resources and reprieves and safety tips and all that good, good. And you can also listen to other cases that we've done, since we have one fucking bazillion of them.
We do. We have quite the catalog, quite the archive, and we think that you should definitely maybe start listening backwards.
Yeah, please.
I wouldn't start from the beginning. And
if you listen to this and then you go and listen to the first thing we ever did, you don't need to talk to me again. It's okay. I understand.
Do we sound like prepubescent in those now? Hi. The way that we have like aged.
I know. I feel like I don't even smoke, but I feel like my voice sounds like I started smoking. Like just
I wouldn't change your lower voice. I love it. More sultry.
Sultry. I've gotten texture, aka I never drink enough water. It's great.
Yeah, we got some good rasp going on. We've smelly always cat. Had that. Smelly cat. So if you want to hear more of this, if you couldn't tell, we're very slap happy this evening. But we love you and we love getting to hang out with you. And we definitely think that you should do it more. And we will see you next week. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Love you.
Look at my clock. That was about time for true crime. Bye.
Mwah.
Love you.